This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live the tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And all by myself this weekend. The Mermaid is taking a hiatus for the rest of the season. She's got some entertaining to do, so you will not hear her dulcet tones until 2023-24, unfortunately. We're going to have some great guests come on for the rest of the season and some specialty episodes. Talk about that later. It's a nice sunny day here in Glen Burnie, and I hope it is also wherever you are, be you in the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so we saw another game. Same stuff, different day, I guess. Bad start and not a good finish. Unfortunately, we've come to expect it. So we'll talk about that game among the two others that were played. But I mentioned some special guests. We had one, fortunately, a few weeks ago, and we're doubly graced again to have a very, very, very special group this week. They are an internet sensation among Caps fans. That's probably not doing them a great justice, but it's the best I can come up with right now in my addled brain. If you were on Twitter, you know them very well. They put up the great parody songs whenever one of the Caps scores a goal, and they are all kinds of fun to listen to. They are Laura and John, the Captastrophes.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Blue Liner?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Laura, John, how you doing today?
We're okay. Full disclosure, because we knew kind of what to expect out of the team today, given they were playing the Rangers, who are well entrenched in a playoff spot, and the guys, I don't think they're mathematically eliminated yet, although maybe after today they are. I haven't been paying attention to it. We did other things other than watch the game today. We actually, when we're not doing the Captastrophes, we have a musical group that plays original music in venues in and around the DC area. So we spent, instead of 3 hours screaming and throwing things at the TV today watching the guys lose, we spent 3 hours working on our songs and hanging out with our friends. So full disclosure, we didn't watch today, and it honestly sounds like we didn't miss much, sir.
Yeah, no, I do not blame you at all. For that, it was not fun to watch even for a minute, although there was some rough stuff in the towards the end. But yeah, you definitely didn't miss much. And if you're doing things to improve your life or stuff you need to take care of, you're much better served, believe me. So yeah, can't really blame you there. All right, so this is obviously your first time on the show. We were talking beforehand, most of our registered listeners are on Facebook, so they may not know you guys very well. First and foremost, what's your Twitter handle, obviously, because that's where folks can catch you there. So folks who aren't inclined can go there and check out your awesome material.
Hang on, John. John's checking.
I'm just checking. There we go.
So we're the Captastrophes.
So it's
it's at Captast. Okay. So full disclosure, I'm not on Twitter. John is. So it's at Captastrophes. Yeah. CAPTASTROPHIES at Captastrophes. That's on Twitter. We are also on Instagram. Our Instagram following is not as interactive as our lovely Twitter following.
And we do play around on Facebook, but it's more, there is no official Captastrophes account on Facebook. So Twitter, it's at Captastrophes. Instagram, it's the underscore Captastrophes. And then I will post for my personal account in, I don't know what the rules on cross-pollination here are, Blue Liner, but there are Facebook groups out there. There's a society one, and there's a true one, and there's a, you know, there's a whole bunch of different flavors out there, and I will post occasionally in there.
Yeah, no, John, you name it, we're probably known by them. We post with them regularly, so yeah, a couple of those definitely familiar with. For sure. Cap Society, True Caps fans for a couple. Yeah, we're probably known in about a couple of dozen different Facebook groups. So yeah, definitely no worries there.
Aaron, yeah. So the activity that we do in there, people may have seen it from my personal account. There is no Captastrophes Facebook account yet. But maybe
we should probably fix that.
Yeah. As soon as we're done, maybe I'll see what permutations of Captastrophes or the Captastrophes or the real Captastrophes, you know, we'll find one that hasn't been taken yet.
Awesome. Yeah. And when I can remember when I'm not trying to do 50 things at once, try to post one of your videos from Twitter whenever the Caps score a goal. But, you know, like I said, sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle and not everybody has Twitter or can get to Twitter. So they kind of might look at that in a bit of wonder and amazement. But we do try to post your videos because it's wonderful, awesome material. If you like, I mean, if you're a lover of music, how can you not? But if you're a lover of the Caps and music, you got to love what they offer. Basically, from what I've seen, and I'm, again, I hope I'm not doing you an injustice, but every time Caps score a goal, they do what amounts to a parody song. My absolute favorite, full disclosure, as long as we're doing that, is the one for Connor Sherry. He got the way to move me, Sherry. Oh, I love that.
Neil Diamond cover. Oh, okay. I love that. Was Neil a really Diamond. Fun one to make. That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, I absolutely love that one, and I kind of hope that he sticks around. That being a one of the top reasons why, but for obviously his on ice play. But yeah, just so we can hear that again, hopefully many times next year and beyond. So
sure. So you know that was our second song for him, right? That was our second effort.
No, so you did another one.
Yes,
we had an original. What was it?
So this sort of became a thing with us. We've had a cat join us who has just leapt up right next to the microphone. Hang on a second. there he goes. He's like 16 pounds. So if you Yikes. Hear a thud. And we have a shock mount. He just overpowered it. So it got to the point where we before we could get a song for everybody, right? Because there just weren't that many reasons to write a song for Matt Irwin. We're just gonna not to call him out in particular. He just, as you said, they're goal songs, right? So you need to score a goal in order to get a song. So we sort of would come up with an idea and then we'd kind of level up, right? I mean, our first Alex Ovechkin song was the Ole soccer chant, and it was me banging on a pot with a wooden spoon.
And I'm on bucket.
And Laura's playing the bucket, and I'm blowing a whistle, right? I mean, that one, I don't think we posted that one in a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So the first Connor Sheary one was for a Green Day song. It was Holiday by Green Day, but instead of on holiday, we said Connor Sheary. Dun, 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 dun. So yeah, I left the Penguins because I have seen the light, and now I rock the red, join DC in the fight because I am Connor Sheary. So that was the original Connor Sheary one. Took a little poetic license with the rhyme scheme there. But then, as you pointed out, there was the Neil Diamond one. So, you know, that's happened. We had one for Koozie. that was, God, who are they? The Young Rascals or something, Groovin' on a Sunday afternoon. That song, that was Coozin' on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and then love we did that one too.
Thank you. Well, we came up with another one for him this year. There was, were they Lovin' Rockets? Rocks Off. It was like a 90s, it's like an MTV staple in the 90s. Anyway, so yeah, we have multiple songs. Some of them people have never even seen because they may have come along. Because we've been doing this actually going all the way back to the 2019 playoffs was the first time we posted anything. And we did that again on my personal Twitter account. And then the more of these we came up with, the more like we were like, maybe we have something here. So the account didn't come into existence for a full 2 years after we started doing this for fun, you know, with a handful of songs here and there.
And 1,200 followers later, you are a rockin' Caps fan combo with a pretty good following.
Thank you. Thank you. That there are several accounts and that have helped promote in addition to you and people on True Caps and other accounts there. Nova Caps has been a huge proponent of ours from very, very early on. And then weirdly, there is a Dallas Cowboys fan who is also a Washington Capitals fan. And his handle is Spoon of Zeke, and he has about 60,000 followers on Twitter. And all he does is try and help promote and connect smaller accounts with larger accounts so they can grow. So he kind of doubled our account with about two or three tweets earlier this year in 2023. So
nice.
It was kind of impressive. It wasn't very nice of him and very impressive of that person to do that. I still haven't gotten the straight scoop on how you are a Dallas Cowboys fan and a Caps fan. because he hasn't lived in the area, right? Because that was my first thought. Like, he's from Maryland. Maybe his parents were the artist formerly known as, you know, the Arskins fans, and he rooted for the Cowboys to, you know, to be a thorn in their side. Because I had friends that did that growing up, but they were still Caps fans. They just rooted for Dallas on Sundays. So anyway, I haven't gotten the straight story on it, but he's a heck of a nice guy and has helped us out, you know, as much as Nova Caps have.
Hey, yeah, either way, you know, but yeah, that's totally awesome. And love it when fans get together and help each other out. That's you know, kind of what we're about here at our little podcast. Okay. So that's what you're all about as far as your content. So let's find out about both of you guys as hockey and Caps fans. How did you both get into hockey and the Washington Capitals? How did that start?
Well, I've done a lot of talking right now, so I'm gonna let Laura tell her story.
I'll go first. So I came to hockey significantly later in life. My family was a football family, and it was 2017, and I was working for a running store, and one of our reps got the store tickets to a Caps game, and I don't like watching sports where I don't know the rules because that's boring. So leading up to going to the game, I had all of my coworkers that enjoyed hockey teach me all the rules so that I could sit and watch the game and really enjoy it. So we went and it was so much fun. And every time, you know, one of my coworkers, Matt, was really trying to explain what icing was. And like anytime icing happened, he'd look back at me. I'd be like, oh, that was icing. I totally get it now. And it was just an absolute blast. I loved it. I loved the energy of the fans. I loved the speed, the pace of the game. I'm not going to lie. I totally loved it when the fights broke out. Like, it was just an absolute blast. And then, and I met John that same fall, and it became something fun for us to do together watching games when we were pretty early in a relationship, and then we got married and it sort of snowballed from there. But yeah, that was the first game I ever went to, and I picked a heck of a year to start supporting the team.
I'll say.
You did catch that. You did catch that, right, Blue Liner? She joined fall of 2017.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And yeah, great time to get on the train. But yeah, I mean, that's timing couldn't have been better. But yeah, if from your passion, I can tell that, you know, this wasn't going to be a one-time thing. So yeah, that's more than awesome to hear. And so John, you're pretty much the same, since that's I mean, were you a fan before you and Laura met? Yeah. Or
no, I there's a pennant in our basement with signatures from people like Al Jensen and Mike Gartner and Timo Blumentwist and
Bobby my Gould. Gosh,
I went to my first game March 13th, 1983.
You are taking me back, sir.
Well,
I wasn't born yet. Oh my,
Laura just told me she wasn't born yet.
I'm younger than John by 7 years. I wasn't born yet. That's all right. That's too funny.
That's all right.
That's the first time we ever put that together. So my dad, she finds this really riotous. My dad had tickets right on the blue line at the old Cap Center, which he used to entertain clients. And most often, like, the Sunday afternoon games were the ones where, you know, clients, no client wanted to go, you know, for an event or a wine and dine dinner on a Sunday afternoon. So he would take my brother and I, and he had tickets right on the goal, not the blue line, the goal line, where the Caps would shoot twice at the old Cap Center. And this was back when, you know, the Skipjacks, I can't remember. I know the Skipjacks existed in the 80s and 90s, but I don't, you know. What I remember most about that were that there were a lot of fans from up your way, from Baltimore and south mm-hmm. of Baltimore and, you know, northern PG County and Anne Arundel. And a lot of them kind of looked the part, you know, for the time, and would sit on those metal bleachers. There were three guys or four guys, and my dad used to refer to them as Larry, Daryl, and Daryl from, oh gosh, what's the TV show? Not Night Court, but the one with, whatever. Now I look like an idiot. I'm going to have to look it up.
No, I think I know what you're talking about. If I'm not mistaken,
Bob Newhart.
Newhart. Yeah. Where he owned the inn. Yeah. That one.
Right. So there were Larry, Daryl, and Daryl looked, they were blue collar, right? And some of the Caps fans from certain jurisdictions in Maryland. I'm going to totally offend all your fans. I'm so sorry. This is John Blackburn speaking, not Blue Liner. Okay. But some of the people at the Cap Center at that time, you know, because the Caps were not, you know, hundreds of dollars to sit down at ice level, right? So these guys that looked a little bit to my dad, like Larry and Daryl from the Newhart show, were sitting on the metal bleachers, stomping away, you know, really getting into the game. And I mean, the Cap Center was rocking back then. So I went to I can't tell a short story to save my life. March 13th, 1983 was my first game. The Caps won 6-4. They beat the Boston Bruins. I got a bunch of signatures afterwards, and I was really upset because during the third period, the Caps scored a goal that was not counted, and instant replay didn't exist then, but they did have replays on the Jumbotron, and they showed that thing go into the back of the net and move the twine and come firing out real quick. So about 4 days after the game, I grabbed a Sharpie off my dad's desk and changed the score on the pennant to 7-4 because I was furious that the Caps had been robbed of a goal. So that was my introduction. And I, you know, what, 34 and a half years till they won a Stanley Cup. And Laura had to wait,
five minutes,
9 months. So couldn't be more different, but we both love it. And we get into the game, and, it's going to be weird this year, right? Because this is usually, I refer to late April and early May as the sit in the dark and yell at my television time of year.
yeah.
'Cause that's historically what happened, you know, up until 2018, you know, and I still yelled at my television a lot in 2018. Although I was working for NBC Sports Washington at the time. So there was a little bit less yelling because I was on the clock.
Yeah, we weren't even together when they won.
No, we weren't.
I was over at my parents' house. My dad, bless his heart, again, football family. And he's tried to watch hockey, and he has not yet been able to get into it. I'm still working on him, though. But I was sitting at home with both of them watching the game, and that final puck went in, and I just stood up and I went, oh my God, they won. And there was no one in the room that knew how amazing that was. John was at work. I was with them, and they were like, oh, that's nice, honey. And I'm like, okay, I'll celebrate with someone later. Like,
yep. All I could remember, and John, do not feel the need to censor yourself. You right now, I tell you what, right now, the both of you are podcast gold, the both of you.
Okay.
So keep it up. The only thing I can remember other than Lars Eller's goal and, of course, the cup presentation from that game is the stupid clock stopping with like 8 minutes left to go. And I was just petrified at that point. It's like, oh God, how has the league figured out how to screw the Caps in their moment?
That I remember that happening. The other thing I remember is the scramble afterwards too, because they were the NBC Sports Washington folks were out on the ice. The camera guys were interviewing people, and they were just, you know, Tariq El-Bashir was still, I don't think he had moved over to the Athletic at that point. And so he was on the ice, and I was watching the footage and logging it when Oshie gave the interview about his dad and Alzheimer's and, you know, his memory not being quite what it used to be. But and I had not teared up. Even when they won, even when Eller scored and I knew they were going to win, I didn't tear up with the back-to-back shutouts against Tampa Bay when they were going to go to the cup for the first time since 97, 98. Because I remember that cup trip too. And I have a funny story for that we might get to. I was in Ireland for the Stanley Cup finals, and BBC One in England and Ireland got the live feed at 2 o'clock in the morning local time of the Stanley Cup finals. And honestly, if the Caps hadn't lost, and I was staying up till 5 a.m. and getting up 2.5 hours watching them lose to Detroit and Essetikinen miss a wide open net and all that crap, and getting up 2.5 hours later to go sightseeing with my parents. And if they hadn't lost in 4 straight games, I might not have survived that family trip. But we're not talking about 98. We're talking about 2018. I was logging the feed when Oshie said that. And I called one of the producers over, and I'm tearing up, and I'm trying to explain like Oshie's quote about, you know, my dad's memory isn't what it used to, and I'm paraphrasing, but my dad's memory isn't what it used to be. But, you know, I don't think any disease is going to take this memory away. And I was like, oh my God, like this needs to be on air and I need a Kleenex. Yeah, it was crazy, but I had forgotten about the clock malfunction until you said something,
yeah,
to be honest, because there were so many other moments during that run.
Yeah, it's looking back, that was my one takeaway, because I was kind of in a state of complete. I wish there was a word in the English language where one word that described being in complete blissful nirvana while in also being in a catatonic state. There's no one word for that, but that was me the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, so. Joy. I can't do it in one, but joyous petrification might come close.
That works. That definitely works. So yeah, that's thanks both of you for bringing up such a fantastic memory. And John, I had no idea you were a direct eyewitness to that moment. Cause yeah, like you said, if that moment doesn't tear you up, you're not a human being. That was, that's probably a video that gets replayed over and over and over again. If you're a Caps fan,
yep.
His TJ's moment with his dad, especially last year after it was last year, I think it was last year or 2 years ago when Coach Oshie passed away, unfortunately. But yeah, that was definitely a top five moment in Caps history. That moment there. All right. So, okay. Very cool. So before we get into the recaps of the game, so you mentioned working with a band, something I always like to ask, and you can answer it in your own way, but, and you mentioned, John, you used to work with NBC Sports Washington, but, Laura, John, what do you each do for the almighty paycheck nowadays?
Okay.
You can go first. Figure out what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I work for a local running store. I work for Fleet Feet. I am the retail experience manager for that location in the Catlins in Maryland. So that's my day to day. I'm not a runner, not anymore. I enjoy walking and weightlifting, but I manage a running specialty store.
Oh, nice. So, okay. So for example, would you handle something like someone who was in physical therapy and was looking to use that to get back and get some motion back in their legs, something like that? Would you be involved with something like that?
Technology has changed the world of shoes amazingly. It's so neat. And I've been around the industry, in and out of the industry, long enough to have seen a lot of the changes. So what we have now is really cool 3D imaging, where you stand on a 3D imager that takes pictures and very specific measurements of your feet. And then we do something called a dynamic scan, which takes the pressure points in the bottom of your feet while you're in motion. And we take all of that information, all of our staff are such wonderful, wonderful customer service people. And we work with customers to help them find the proper footwear that can get them back into, you know, back into their physical activity, back into walking, into running. We deal with people that are injured. We deal with people that are not injured. People that are just interested in taking care of their feet, people that have serious foot problems. Like we work with everybody, anybody that is interested in getting really good shoes to help protect your feet so that you can continue moving throughout your entire life. That is what we do.
Awesome. That sounds terrific. Wonderful stuff there. I mean, I'm stumbling over myself, but I know I asked because I happen to know a lot of people that, some in the restaurant business, some in a lot of other businesses where, you know, they're on their feet all day and, you know, my wife was born with a really bad ankle. She's had to have like three surgeries on both of them each. So yeah, that's kind of a subject that I've kind of taken an interest in. But yeah, that sounds like also a localized business that a lot of people should know about, given that a lot of people in the DMV, you know, like to stay active. So after the show, I'd love to get some information about that and post it in the show notes if you could.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm trying to think of who it is. I don't think it's John Kine, but there's the sports science thing that they do on ESPN where they talk about like why somebody can throw a baseball the way they do. And they talk about how, you know, do you know the guy I'm talking about, Blue Liner?
I don't know his name, but I have an idea of what you're talking about. I've never sat through one of his, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the reason that, you know, so-and-so can accelerate so fast when they're, you know, when Usain Bolt gets out of the blocks, this is, you know, because of the length of his legs and the height of the lever off the ground, like their foot analysis is not quite as detailed as that SportsCenter thing, but it's pretty insane.
We are not medical providers. I have to remind our customers that every once in a while, because I mean, we do get people coming in for us helping to resolve their pain. And we definitely can do that for most customers to a point, but there are certainly people that do come to our store that we say, you really need to go see a doctor. So we do not take the place of physical therapists or podiatrists. And we actually work really, we have a lot of physical therapists and podiatrists that we do work with that have come and done trainings at our store and injury screenings for our customers and that have done staff trainings and we have like really good relationships with.
Awesome. All great stuff. Great, great stuff. And it sounds like I said, a localized business that, people really should know about. That's what we've been kind of doing for most of this year, putting the spotlight on that. So, yeah, want to give some lip service and love to that. So, yeah, Laura, if you can hang around later, love to get that information so I can post it.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So, John, we've given you a little bit of time. So, what about you?
Sure. Yeah. And I looked it up on my phone real quick. It's John Brankus for the ESPN Sports Science Show, not John Kime. Wrong John. Many Johns look and sound the same. I started in sports TV. I actually started as an intern for George Michael at the Sports Machine in the late 90s, back when internships were done for free and you had to get a second job in order to get the gas money to pay to drive to your internship. I went into a different career. I did sales for almost 20 years until I couldn't take it anymore. And I went back to get my master's degree in 2017, which is how I ended up back at NBC Sports Washington, initially as an intern again at 40 some. I was literally the 40-year-old intern. at NBC Sports Washington. But internships were paid this time, and then did some production assisting and some videography after that. And that's how I was there when the cup, because I was in school from 2017 to 2019, getting my master's. And upon getting my master's, I actually got a job as a government contractor, and I am a video producer for the Department of Homeland Security.
And oh, my goodness.
It's actually a really amazing job. I often get to go to the Super Bowl each year and film the folks doing the work in and around the Super Bowl. I'm actually suddenly realizing that I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to talk about any of this. So I won't go into any more detail, but it's a really great job. I feel super lucky. Some of my stuff is public facing and some of it's internal, and it keeps me really busy. And I consider myself very lucky that I got a second swing at my first career.
Yeah, definitely. And okay. So full disclosure on my part, I know all about the not giving too much away. I grew up an Army brat, and that's how my dad got into hockey, at least around here, because he worked for the government after he got out of the Army. That's how he got tickets to the old Cap Center and beyond. So I know all about that. And he, after he got out of the Army, he actually ended up working as a language analyst for the National Security Agency. So yeah, I know all about saying too much.
My boss's voice popped into my head, and it was him saying, "And you're not cleared to talk to the press." So I don't know. I think you fall into that camp there, Blueliner.
Yeah. One day when we win the lottery or a lot of incredibly lucky stuff happens to us, maybe, but no, we're just a simple, fan-made podcast that, has a nice little cult following maybe, but so.
I stopped in the middle of a sentence where I said, I don't think anybody's going to listen to this, and I don't want people to think that I don't think you have a following. What I was trying to say is I don't think anybody that's going to listen to this is going to turn me in if I say more than I work for the Department of Homeland Security. So please don't, folks listening to Blue Liner, please don't turn, Blue Liner's fans, Anna's fans, Power Play podcast fans, please don't turn me in. Thank you.
I doubt we have anybody listening that would be, So I think, sorry, I think we're definitely safe there.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, good Lord. And you both, good Lord, busy people. And you both have time to be in a band.
Are we talking about the Captastrophes is more just,
I think he's talking about what we were doing.
Yeah. Like Weird Al Yankovic, if he was a Capitals fan, is not, that's a labor of love and a fun thing that we do.
I didn't want to put it that way, but yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I first saw your Twitter videos, but I didn't want to.
That's a compliment. I take that as a huge compliment.
Because I'm a Weird Al fan.
We do not.
We got Linda Carter we got Wonder Woman as a fan. Why can't we have Weird Al? Like, we got Pat Sajak. Come on, man.
I want Weird Al as a fan.
That'd yeah, I know. Sweet. It'd be great. So we are in another band, a pop rock 90s influence, because we both grew up around here listening to WHFS. Original music band called ISFLY. Are we allowed to swear on the podcast?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. ISFLY stands for I super fucking love you. Because that's something that Laura and I used to say to each other. So it's ISFLY. If you're in mixed company, it's Sir Ma'am ISFLY, right? Because it's two gen. No, I'm kidding. So it's either ISFLY, I super fucking love you, or I super effing love you, or I super.
If there's kids present.
Right. I super freaking love you, take your pick. But yeah, it's something that there's so many funny stories. I think we were together for like a year, and I realized that I had been in a ska punk band in college in the late 90s, because everybody was in a ska punk band in the late 90s, it seems like. And Laura, you know, who now we know is seven, eight years younger than me.
Seven.
Played coffee houses and the like over at the University of Maryland when she was there. And I looked at her one day and I was like, why have we never played music together? And I saw a look on Laura's face that I hadn't ever really seen before. And it was like,
was it terror?
It was 30% enjoy, like 30% curiosity and 70% terror. And I think she was worried that the trying to play songs was going to destroy our relationship.
Well, because that had happened to me before. That has happened many times before that a significant other one was like, oh my gosh, we should totally play. I'm like, if you want the relationship to end, sure, let's try it.
So we played it safe and we did a Jimmy Eat World cover. And I was not a terrible guitar player. And if I was only focused on singing, I definitely could sing in like a punk style. But playing guitar and singing at the same time has been a little bit challenging. So we had to surround ourselves with a drummer and a bass player that could do some of the other lifting as far as singing to complement Laura's beautiful lead vocals that you've heard many times on the Captastrophes.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot easier to come up with like a verse and a chorus for a song that somebody else has written and just make it about a hockey player that we love than it is to come up with an entire original song, which is one of the things that I love about the Captastrophes, that it's quick and that it's just a little sort of soundbite and you're done. That's, you know, hats off to Weird Al Yankovic for doing the entirety of those songs, full covers. We do not do that.
But yeah, there's a reason we have like maybe 8 or 9 original songs and 60 or 70 Captastrophes songs at this point. Like it's
infinitely easier.
Somebody's already done the creativity and we just have to break out the rhyming thesaurus and go from there and cross-reference that with NHL.com and then we're good.
Well, I definitely would not reduce what you do at all, because it does take a lot of artistry and certainly personality, but artistry and artistic ability to take something that's already created and turn it into something relevant to a whole other audience. There is that, you know, not to overblow things, but I mean that it takes a lot of artistry. It takes some improvisational skill, which I happen to admire the fuck out of anybody who can do that.
Drop those F-bombs.
Yeah.
So
thank you. That's very kind. I understand what you're saying. It there is improvisation, certainly. There's some you have to be a quick thinker on your, like, I'm not being with my words right now. You have to think quick on your feet, and there's a cleverness involved, right? There's a
Absolutely.
Cleverness, there's an ability to turn a phrase. There's some theatrics and some performance. It definitely doesn't hurt that Laura is trained in acting and theater and can, you know, I'd put her singing up against anybody's that I can think of. And I have, you know, a little bit of comedic timing, and we both do. And we play off, you know, we see each other every day and we do everything together. So we play off each other really well. So I appreciate that. I think the highest, you know, your words just now were very kind. I think the highest compliment I've been paid online is I've had more than one Twitter account message me and say, like, God damn you. Like, now I hear this song and like, or isn't it great that when I hear this song on the radio, I sing your lyrics and not the actual lyrics to the Cake song or, you know, whatever song it is, right? Like the people who say, like, I can't actually sing, you know, the correct lyrics to Cake's The Distance anymore without lapsing into words about Alex Ovechkin. That's the biggest compliment I think that we could be paid, that the audience is so much of a Caps fan and we've done such a good job with what we were trying to do that it has supplanted the memory of that popular song within that particular person's brain. And that's really cool.
It is. And I can provide you with more evidence to that. I don't know if you recall, but when we started direct messaging over Twitter, I mentioned something that kind of sort of involved you guys or what you guys have been doing. And of course it was, I mentioned this on an episode a few weeks back, and it was when we were approaching the trade deadline, and pardon me, I happened to hear on the radio by chance, the old Simon, Paul Simon song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And
yep.
Yeah.
And I heard that, and the words just popped into my mind of all of these players who were supposedly on their way out because of the trade deadline. And yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, this would be great for the Captastrophes to do. And then I quickly shut that down because that was I could also imagine getting a whole lot of hate mail and hate tweets for even suggesting that. So
I remember you saying that, and we, you know, the first thing that popped into my head and our head actually was the Paul Simon song for Eric Gustafson. And, you know, we were not alone. It's not like that was an original idea. John Walton mentioned it on a broadcast once. I think Caps fans of a certain age, that's where their brain, when people started calling him Gus, like that's, you know, many of us, our brain went to that right away.
Yeah.
And we had that on a list, and it's some songs lend themselves to it easier than others. And sometimes it's just, you need that one phrase, and, you know, Hop on the Gus Bus was already in the song. And I think we struggled to incorporate other things about him into that Paul Simon song. The other thing that held me back is, I am a serviceable guitar player, and Paul Simon is one hell of a musician. And I listened to that song and I'm like, there is some ornate instrumentation going on here in this recording that I don't think I can do justice to on, you know, with a ham-fisted playing of an acoustic guitar. So we kind of shied away from that. And I was much more ready to attack the song Freshman by the Verve Pipe because I also felt I was treading on much less holy ground, you know, to make fun of that song versus Paul Simon, who I, you know, was one of my, you know, on Facebook, they do those like thing where you do the Hollywood squares of like your 9 favorite albums or 12 mm-hmm. favorite albums or whatever. And Paul Simon is up there with Living Color and Fishbone and the Mighty Mighty Bosstones and the Kingston Trio. It's just like, and Frank Black or the Pixies. And it's weird. Like 7 of these belong. And then there's Paul Simon and the Kingston Trio. And like, all right, who is this person that listens? Do people actually listen to this array of things? And yeah, they do. They turn out like me. So, you know, sorry if that happened to you too.
No, you're right along the lines of, how, like you said, how most Caps fans think. And, I actually go quite the ways back, and all those old Caps players you mentioned, they're second nature from in my mind. So that if that ages me a bit, but so be it if it does. All right. So let's go ahead and take care of a bit of business. I know that's probably the least favorite part of the podcast for most of you out there. Are you listening on the earbuds, the speakers, what have you? And that's the game recaps, but we got to do it. And well, I mean, it's still interesting to watch the team play. Even though lately their trend has been to start slow and watch them try to come back, chase the game, try to come back. The focus game for this week, I think we're going to do the Islanders game that they lost in the dreaded shootout. So let's quickly go over the other two. So the other one was the day after, and I really, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but I think whoever made the schedule for this season had some sort of grudge against the Caps, because I think this was like their 15th back-to-back where they, and I think Al Koken actually mentioned it. This is like yet another back-to-back where they either had to, you know, go home right after being on the road or vice versa, and the other team was waiting for them. And yeah, it just didn't do them well. But there's a 5-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They fell behind fairly quick, 2-0 by the end of the first period. I actually thought they played the first period fairly well for a strong team like Tampa. And then Craig Smith put him 2-1 on a deflection. And so 2-1 game in the third, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe we can get the loser point out of it. But then Pat Maroon showed up and shut the door on him. And yeah, that was pretty much it. I don't think this was a bad game played by the Caps. They made 31 shots on goal. And I think some untimely penalties kind of killed them in the beginning. They gave up that power play, but I didn't think this was really, really bad, even though the wheels kind of came off in the third. Either you had to have a chance to watch this game at all?
I watched some of it, and I remember watching the Maroon goal, and I can't remember if it was off of Kemper's pad and then the post and then just kind of laying there. And I can't remember if it was pad and post or post and pad, but I remember it being like, of course, Pat Maroon scored that goal, right? Because he's a huge cannonball of a human being. And, you know, that's where he, I think on the broadcast, they even said this is a typical Pat Maroon goal. You know, everybody keeps talking about how he's won so many Stanley Cups for somebody with as little talent as he has. But I used to buy into that. But the longer he plays and keeps producing, the more I think maybe people are just consistently underestimating him. Like maybe he's better than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I'm beginning to fall into that camp too. I used to believe the same thing, but yeah, there are passengers on every team. I don't think Pat Maroon is. And if you notice, if you watch his career, especially in the playoffs, he tends to think whether it's a goal or an assist or just some sort of big play, he does that. He does something during the game that either seals it. It either seals it for his team if they're ahead or turns the game completely around if they're behind.
Yeah. And this one, like the Caps were in it, right? 2-1 and he scores. And if there was any momentum or any air in the sails, it just went out. I think I did not pay attention to, cause it's a 5-1 loss. Right. And I don't want to hear LaViolette say that we're working through things in the room and we're preparing for the next game, which was the Rangers. Right. I think he's moved on from we're working through some stuff in the room. And now he's just, people are asking him questions about his job, which, I don't blame him for not wanting to field, but, he's just, we're focused on the next game. Right. And so I didn't pay any attention to the post game. I could not figure out, and I don't think it makes a difference if Charlie Lindgren plays, right. Except for us, cause we get to post the Charlie Lindgren song, which I really love posting because it's, a Cranberries tune. And we got to say Charlie fucking Lindgren and bleep out the, to keep it PG. But I just don't know why do you have two goal? I know you have two goalie, but why have Darcy Kemper face 60 shots in 2 days after, doing extra work in the shootout the night before and then cramming on a plane and getting to Florida late? And why do you have a backup goalie? Not to start him in, like, it just, I can't even articulate how much it doesn't make sense right now.
Well, not
and
that.
I still think they lose. Sorry to cut you off. I still think they lose if Lindgren plays. I just don't understand why he didn't.
Well, not to play devil's advocate, because I'm really have not been at all a fan of LaViolette the last 40, 50 games or so. But I think the logic was that regardless, Kemper, in his mind anyway, presented the best chance to win. But I'm glad, John, you presented your argument the way you did, because it sounds like it was you're more concerned for Kemper's overall welfare, because, like you said, the game previous, he played all 60 minutes plus had to go through the shootout. So that's almost double duty for any goaltender. And then to turn around less than 24 hours later and do the same thing kind of puts you at risk. So it's not that Kemper's no good. Why is he starting? It's like the argument is Kemper is played the night before, give him a bit of rest so he can be fresh those last couple of games that they might have to win. But what's pissing me off lately is that there seems to be this camp that says, start Charlie Lindgren no matter what, because Kemper's a bust. And I couldn't disagree with that more. But
I don't think you're a bust if you are tied for the league lead in shutouts.
Right.
Especially because I don't know who he's tied with, but I would love to take a look at their defensive core versus the defensive core that we've rolled out there this year, especially with all the injuries. He's got what, 5 shutouts or 6 shutouts, whatever it was. He was, at least up until the past couple of days, he was tied for the league and lead in shutouts. And you don't do that if you're a bum. I don't think Kemper's a bum. I just think of all the games to give him off, it's after 65 minutes plus a shootout and 6 hours going to and from and being on airplanes, and starting again less than 24 hours later, like you pointed out. Like, it just, that's the no. I know that they're still technically in it, but they're kind of not. So,
Yeah, really. Anyway. So why even risk, the possibility of injury at that point, even though the games are more and more important or had been up to that point. So getting to the statistics, I don't know if he's tied anymore, but he was up there and he's recorded 5 shutouts this season, which, by the way, and not to crap on, last year's tandem of Vanacek and Samsonov, but that's, if I remember right, at least 3 or 4 more than those two had all of last year. So that's got to count for something, I would think. But
it does. I still don't know if Samsonov is good or not. I haven't paid enough attention to Toronto this year. His numbers have looked good. I was personally always a huge Vanacek fan, not necessarily as this is a number one goalie, although I think some people would feel he made a pretty strong argument as to why he should be this year in New Jersey. I just thought he's just such a likable person, and he was totally, totally good, totally serviceable as a backup goalie last year, which is right where I thought he should be in his career. I don't know. I feel like the ones that are saying, I'm not sure that every segment of the Caps fandom is necessarily that good at judging goaltending. How about that? Maybe that's the way I'll say it.
I would 1,000% agree with you there, John.
Yeah. The same ones that were saying, Vanacek has no business being here are probably the same ones saying Kemper sucks. Are probably the same ones who said, in 2016 or 2017, why are we still trotting that Braden guy out there? Like, it's just, and I think people also forget that goalies are allowed to evolve. Remember back in our day, Blue Liner, when we watched hockey in the 80s, a goalie wasn't supposed to peak until they were 30 or 31 or 32 years old. Do you remember that? Do you remember that school of thought?
Oh, yeah.
John Van Beesbrook was probably a good goalie the whole time, but or maybe it was Richter. I can't remember. But one of them was stuck behind the other one in New York, because they were, not supposed to be the guy and they were too young or too, one of them. I don't even remember anymore. I'm too old to remember what the hell happened. But you weren't, like, goaltenders were not supposed to hit their stride until 30. And now it's like, oh, Matt Murray's 24 and he's already won 2 cups. So he's past his prime, Like, whatever. So.
Yeah, no.
That was a complete thought. Sorry.
I love it. That's perfect. So building off that, I mean, Jim Carrey, there's a blast from the past. Should not be the atypical example. Burn brightly your first 2 years and then flame out and then you're out of hockey within 3-4 years of your career. That's not the typical example either, nor should it be.
Yeah. No, it shouldn't. And I can't remember. He did get injured, right? He did have a nagging injury that hampered him later. But I think before that, they expose that he had a weak glove or a weak blocker? I think there was there became a playbook on him and then he got injured and then it was kind of game over, right? Do I got that right? As far as
pretty much
history?
Pretty much it was that. And then he decided what I heard was that not long after that, you know, they figured out the air quotes book on it. You can't see it. I'm doing the air quotes with my fingers, but the book on him, not long after that, he decided he didn't even want to be a hockey player anymore. And took courses in investing and became, built his own investment firm. And now apparently that's what he's doing now. So.
Okay. Yeah. But I remember my mother shushing me because I screamed his name during the national anthem right at the very end instead of staying quiet the whole time. But I remember I was that excited at that. I mean, this is what we're talking early mid 90s, right? I just remember how like they had the clips from the, this is when in-game production started kind of, it was more than just an organ player and some, you know, 8-bit graphics on the Jumbotron. They were playing clips from the movie, The Mask, and Jim Carrey, the actor, would come out and go smoking when he would make a great save. And I just remember being so excited about the whole thing. And then my mother being mortified that I screamed during the national anthem. She hasn't been to a game in a while. It would be a lot different now. She hated She hated when the Baltimore people would say, "Oh," but I can't imagine what she would think now. If she went to a Caps Knights game, there'd be more screaming than singing, you know, between red and oh and night and, you know, it'd be insane. I think I've lost Laura here. I'm talking about stuff that happened when she was like 4, and I think I've lost her.
John loves to point out how much older than me he is.
Well, I was speaking of which I was just about to ask Laura if I don't know if Laura, you had a chance to catch any of the games, but what has been your impression of how the team's been playing at least these last few weeks?
So I work a lot of evenings and take a lot of evening classes. So I'm often walking through the door to see a very sad John in the last couple minutes of a game, or I'm listening in my car and then I'm turning it off. It's just, you know, I love our guys. They're great. Obviously we love them or we wouldn't do this. But watching them skate on the ice and getting, you know, just getting out skated, you know, looking slower than everybody else. And then that feeling when they're down a goal that based on the season that we're probably not going to turn it around. And I hate that. I hate that kind of feeling because there are guys and you want to be like, oh my gosh, we're just one goal down. We're still in this game, but trends being what they are, looking at it and going, are we going to watch the rest of this? Are we, you know, is this, so that's the feeling that I've had, which has been not a fun feeling to have for our guys.
Yeah, I totally get that. And yeah, I think a lot of Caps fans feel that way. It is hard to watch. And if you think about it, you know, we've gotten real, real used to over the last 10, 15 years, you know, ever since, you know, Alex Ovechkin became a Washington Capital, we've gotten real used to this team having a lot of success. And it's really hard to see the opposite of that and even harder to try and sit through no playoffs for this year. And I watch it just because I love hockey in general. I'm a hockey fan, you know, on top of being a Caps fan. So I try to watch for things that, you know, I can make a mental note on that. Oh, that's something they can improve on, or, oh, that's something they might want to tweak and might, you know, make their game better. So I try to focus on that, but other than that, it's really hard to watch. And I'm thinking of some of your latest tweets, and I noticed you've added the note of something about I'm going to butcher it, but it says you've added a note that says the first day of no playoffs 2023, and it kind of hits the point home, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to say it's like a train wreck that you have to watch it, but you do have to, because it's like, okay, you know, these guys are feeling, and this is another reason why I love what you guys do, but you know, you guys are, you know, putting yourselves out there and hey, this is, you know, we're feeling your pain too, and that's, you know, and we can all relate. So yeah,
I think part of it is that it's it's, you know, it's April 1st and we already know they're not going to make it. And we've known for, I mean, probably definitely, I feel like when they lost to Pittsburgh, and I'm not going to put all of this on Anthony Mantha, and I know that's not one of the games of the three that we're focusing on now, but when they lost that game 4-3, that was the one for me that I'm like, okay, this is not going to happen. So it's not, I remember years past where they made it in on the last day, you know, based on winning or tying or somebody else losing, and they were bounced out on the last day or the second to last day. But like, this is not, I think that would be more shocking, right, if that had happened. But we're seeing, you said car wreck. This is like a slow motion car wreck, but we also have seen it coming for several blocks.
Oh my gosh. And it's not even like I wouldn't love for them to get in the playoffs, but that at this point, there are so many people, the injuries every single time I watch a game and I see a hard hit, like, you know, usually I'm rooting for that kind of stuff because that's the fun stuff. You want to watch a game where the action is, but every hard hit where one of our guys takes a little longer to get up, I'm like, oh gosh, what now? Who's gone now? Who's down now? Who's out for a bunch of other games now? Like every game. It's so stressful.
So it's the joke on Twitter, at least on Twitter, I'm sure it's the joke everywhere in Caps fandom, is just, we just need to bubble wrap TJ Oshie. Like he's still a national treasure and he's still our treasure, but oh my God, does that guy need to, you know, I don't know. He needs some HGH or bubble wrap or both, or I don't know, but we gotta protect him as best we can. Cause it just, you watch him do a reverse hit on somebody and it's, he, you know, goes down or he takes something to the face, and you never know, you know, like the guys used to always just bounce right back up. And it seems like, especially this year,
there's no bouncing
up. There's just, you know, getting scooped up by the trainer and hobbling off. And it's just been a tough year. And I think we've seen, I think part of our, I don't know, our tweets that are sort of, I won't say mourning or lamenting, because I won't speak for everybody. I think me still personally, like, we're just 5 years past the cup, right? And I think if this had happened, but the cup, if this year happened exactly the way it did this year, but the cup had never happened, I think it would be much more devastating, because I think at this point that the realization would sink in that, okay, Alex Ovechkin will probably never win a Stanley Cup unless he requests a trade, you know, to go chase a cup like the way Ray Bourque did. Like, mm-hmm. Alex will never get a cup. All right. But he did. And it wasn't that long ago. And I think there's, for me, there's still, I mean, I was super sad every April or May for 30 some odd years, you know? Maybe there's still a little bit of satisfaction. Maybe the feast was gorged upon too recently there, Blue Liner, and my gut is still partially full, and I'm just not, like, it stinks, right? And I think it's good, because it might force them to make some changes, get younger, find a different coach. I'm very mad that they wasted 5 years of Alex Ovechkin on Todd Reirden and Peter Laviolette.
Oh, you and me both.
You know, yeah, but I think that I'm also still a little, a little too satisfied from 2018. And then I do view this as a good thing, right? Then we're going to get some changes. And maybe what I advocated for, not in 2019 when they lost to Carolina, but when they lost to Boston. So they won a Stanley Cup and then had two consecutive first round exits. And I advocated with my friends, some of whom are on True Caps fans on Facebook, we need to do a mini rebuild now, right? They were getting rid of Todd at that point, and do the mini rebuild now. Of course, you post that online, like, I said they should have done this forever ago, and everybody comes out of the woodwork saying, like, well, you should send your resume to the team because clearly you're a genius. And you know, I both love and loathe the internet, which I think is why we ended up doing the songs. Right. Because, you know,
it's neutral.
Right. Like, people might say, you guys think you're so funny, but that's sort of the end of the argument.
Because,
like,
we do. And we are.
We do think we're funny. But you can't get you can't fix stupid, and you don't need to argue with them as long when you're not debating like lucid. Like if your touting of Alex Ovechkin is wrapped up in a bucket and a song from Cake, like, you know, there's just, the idiots seem to move on from that. I don't know why.
Thank goodness they do.
Yes. Anyway, I think we got lost. Anyway, yeah, it's been. This sort of mourning period has been protracted, right, over the last few weeks. Like, I think they lost the Pittsburgh game, as I was saying, and that's mm-hmm. when I knew it was over. But tracing it back before that, when they lost to Anaheim, San Jose, and Detroit in a row mm-hmm. and got 0 of 6 points there.
Yeah.
They've lost 5 of 6 or 6 of 7 and 9 of 11, you know, 8 of 11, 8 of 9 or 9 of 10 or something. Like, if you just go 500, like, you're still fighting, but they just don't have it this year. So it's more, I'm still satisfied from 2018. And the writing has been on the wall for this for quite a while this season. And so I think it's a little bit easier to accept it because we've been prepared for it.
Yeah. No, you're right. I actually couldn't agree more, except for one thing. So I had never, you mentioned a certain football team that went by another name.
Yep.
And I witnessed their Super Bowl championships and also the Ravens 2 championships, but
uh-huh.
nothing ever that gave me such a high compared to the Caps winning the Stanley Cup. And my only disagreement to what you just said is I got greedy for that feeling and I wanted it to happen again as soon as possible. And I thought for sure that they had the team to do it. If not the next year, then within 1 or 2 years. And like you said, they frittered those years away because mm-hmm. they were the best possible chance to get it done. But I wanted to see them win one more because, well, we all wanted that feeling for one. And two, you win 2 cups in a certain amount of time, then that kind of shuts up the fans of the other teams that says, oh, look, this was just a fluke. There's no way you can do it again. Well,
it
didn't happen. And you can, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, they have excuses and for one reason or another. But yeah, no, you're right. We do have, you know, we do have that long awaited win to, you know, slake that thirst and say, okay, you know, they finally did it. They got one. Just hope it's not a case of like, you know, the New York Rangers where they have to wait a half a century for the next one.
Sure. I do too.
If
it's that long, you know, another one right at the end of my life wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for me on a personal level, but I get your point. I wonder, not an original thought, I don't have original thoughts. That's why we do parody songs. But I wonder how much the Nationals winning the World Series impacted that, because I'm not going to take your podcast time to try and figure that out, but I got to see my hockey team win a cup for the first time in my entire life. And then the very next year, a baseball team that I root for, and full disclosure, I was an Orioles fan because there were no Nationals growing up, but my dad grew up a Senators fan. So when the Nats came back, he started rooting for the Nats. And so I just wanted to root for the team that my dad rooted for. And I also really hated the way that Peter Angelos treated Cal Ripken Sr. So mm-hmm. I sort of turned my back on those guys up your way because of that. I love hating sports owners because it's just kind of fun. And we have some good ones in this area to do that with. But I wonder if there are fans that are just like, wow, my two teams just won championships in back-to-back years. Like, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
I think you're right. That probably has a lot to do with it. And it was great to see that there was such a bond between those two teams. You had the Caps go out and you had Ovechkin throwing out the first pitch the next season, and a lot of the guys mm-hmm. with the cup, you know, going to a live Nats game, and then, you know, the 2019 team going to a Caps game with the World Series trophy, and You know, it's great seeing such a bond between those teams, and it solidified the DMV fans, and it was really great to see. So yeah, I think you had a great point there, and that kind of that still sticks out in a lot of fans' memory, I'm sure. But a lot of us too want them to go back to that, at least chase that mountaintop. And now that they're so far away, it kind of stings. But yeah, like you said, I think finally that the fact that they started the something of a rebuild or a retooling or whatever you want to call it is some good news to all of us. Let's just hope that they make a lot more good decisions in the off season. That's going to be key. Let's quickly finish out the recap of the other two games. Okay, so there was today's game. I don't spend too much time on this one because, unfortunately, I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it after the first period because it was such a bad start after the first 10 minutes. They looked a little lost. They gave up two goals within 2 minutes of each other late in the first period, and then they fell behind another in the first minute of the third. Then Dylan Strome got his 19th on a lucky bounce, and while I like to see the goal, you kind of have to think, I don't know if you guys ever get this way when this kind of thing happens. You love to see a goal, but if it takes a lucky bounce to get it in and you're already down by three, that kind of tells you, okay, if this is what it's going to take to get them into the game, well,
it does not instill a sense of confidence.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Congrats to Dylan Strome for setting a career mark with that. I think lots of folks, myself included, had very high hopes for him coming in this year, especially knowing that Nicky would be gone for so much of the year, if not the whole year. And I would say I'm not sure if there was a lot of expectations put on him, I think. And I don't know if he quite met them, but he certainly, if he didn't meet them, he got darn close. And I'm thinking that's why he got the contract extension. Also, he's just not that old. Which even at his age, it's not that like he's not 22, right? But usually the guys on our team with a 2 in their age have a 3 in front of it. So, I congrats to him. He was on a prove it deal. He knows he's going to be here now. You know, if he builds on this and improves upon it next year, then I'll be happy. I'm neither satisfied nor disappointed in Dylan Strome this year. So good on him for setting a career mark.
I think you've captured the mentality of how a lot of fans feel about him. I still have high hopes for him. I think he is the future of the team or a big part of that as far as the forwards, especially at center. I kind of wished he would have added more goal-wise. He still can get a 20 goal season, which is, pretty good for a center, but I think maybe might have been a little unfair to have somebody step in and, think he was going to all by himself change the fortunes up front. I think in some part he was misused a little bit, but now, like you said, now that he's got that security with the contract behind him, and I think a full year under another scheme, another coach, I think you're going to see him play with a lot more confidence, and that can only benefit him. And the same's going to apply to the other Caps goal scorer in this game, Alexi Protas, who got his 4th. And I love the effort on this one. He just literally, so it was set up by Backstrom and Carlson, who, Backstrom got it to Carlson. Carlson took a whack at it. And then Protas ended up with it about 2 feet in front of the net, and he just would not give up on it until he had it in. And that is what I've been waiting to see more of from Protas. And he finally showed some of that today. And I think he's another one where, where he's going to have more time given to him and then more confidence. And you're going to see him, blossom into, well, hopefully a second or third line, maybe somewhere down the line, a first liner. It might be too much to ask of him. But I think he also, if he applies himself or continues to do so, he can definitely be a lock as far as the future of the team up front.
Yeah, I mean, they've had him all over the place this year, right? I mean, he's mm-hmm. been everything from a scratch to a fourth liner to a first liner. Like, it's just, you know, and I was just watching it again. Yeah, I mean, that puck, Backstrom was down low, took a whack on it. I couldn't tell if Sandin. Jeez, the rhyming dictionary got left. Like, yeah, I mean, everybody was just, geez, it's just a big, we're watching nice. It right now. There's a big pile.
It's nice to see him fight for it,
there's
though.
There's Milano. Jeez, I mean, they had four guys within 3 feet of the net at one point. Oh, five yeah. guys. No, yeah, four. That, yeah, I mean, it's, and I, like, it's great. They're losing 5-1 at that point. Right. Or 4-1. I mean, they're not going to win this game, but they're all in there fighting and scrapping. Right. And I saw somebody online the other day. And I think you even alluded to this earlier. Like, there are some passengers still on this team, you know, and hopefully didn't look like any of the five guys on the ice for that goal were passengers. And hopefully, you know, part of the continued overhaul and house cleaning, this year will be, we get rid of some of the passengers. We identify the passengers and encourage them to go somewhere else. I would imagine that Protas, I mean, he's been in Hershey. He's been scratched. He's been on the fourth line second. I mean, all the way up to the first line. I would imagine it's been a little bit confusing for that young guy, but he's such a gigantic body. I feel like a lot like I felt when Tom Wilson made his debut as like kind of a black ace in the playoffs. God, when was that? 2013, 14, you know, and it was, they put Wilson in a series that was essentially over, but he just came in and just skated around, just smashing into people. Right. And I don't want Protas to do that, but I want him to find that motivation, right? And maybe next year, if he has a more solidified role, he'll do that.
Yeah, I couldn't have described it better. I would love for him to use his body a lot more. And it just seemed like up until very recently, he wasn't very comfortable doing that. And, you know, maybe he's not going to be the crash and bang guy that you know, Wilson is, but, you know, maybe he can learn to use that frame to create room for himself and, you know, be that guy that creates chances on a different line. So,
maybe he can channel some Pat Maroon.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do we have to be worried about this timer that says 4 minutes, 40 seconds, 39 seconds, 38 seconds that's clicking in the upper left-hand corner?
That is because I scheduled the meeting, but I don't think we have to. So okay. I can hopefully take care of that. But we are getting a little long on time as far as we usually do. But you know what? We're going to keep going here because you guys have been a continuous bottles of awesome here, as I like to say. Okay, so there was one last game we're going to go over real quick. That was a focus game that I wanted to give. Not many goals in this one. The game tying goal, Connor Sherry. This was the one I was just playing it or trying to queue up the video. So let's see if I can get it in here. And this
that's what I heard. Come through. I heard audio.
my fingers got a little misplaced there, unfortunately. Okay, so Sherry gets a bad rebound in front of the net, and he roofs it past Ilya Sorokin for the game tying goal.
This was that monster shovel of a backhand, right, where he just kicked it off the post and in. Yeah, you got to really like put some torque on a stick to get that. Like that's what we would love to have more of out of him and some other guys. Right. I mean, he just dug in and wedged that thing home. It was great.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you can count on him to get that type of goal, especially when you need it most. So that's yet another reason why.
Do you think he's coming back, or do you think he's going to get more money somewhere else?
I'm hoping he stays, but I mean, he just had a baby. So I wouldn't be surprised if he tests the market and says, okay, I'm going to see how much money I can get. And, I don't know. It all boils down to what he wants to do, how much he wants to stay here. He has indicated that he does want to stay. I hope management doesn't see that and go, okay, well, how about this for a hometown discount and take advantage of him? I hope, you know, they kind of, you know, reward him, because I think he has been one of their more consistent players. Also saw somewhere where has been the only one that has suited up for all 70 odd games this year. So
I would not have known that if you had not told me. Wow.
Yeah. Given the fact that he's the smallest player on the team and yeah, is prone to take a lot more pounding than others, that's a tad bit surprising, but is also a testament to his dedication to the game. So I think that speaks for something, or I would hope it would anyway. So that one tied the game, and then there was overtime where they had all those great chances after the first half of the overtime period. And I don't know how you guys feel about the shootout. I can't stand it, but I absolutely love what Cousy does with the shootout. And lo and behold, he nailed one here to give him a temporary lead. Unfortunately, the rest of the guys couldn't put anything away. And they fell in the dreaded skills competition, but at least they got the loser point. I thought this was, well, easily the best game the Caps played all year. Instead of being unsure the first 10 minutes, they definitely, started the game with a purpose. They kept the Islanders away from the scoring area for the most part. When they do that, they tend to be very successful. And, you know, the Islanders aren't a high scoring team as it is, but when you keep the shot totals down and the goal total down to one for the first 60 minutes, you're doing fairly well. Just frustrating they couldn't come out with the 2 points. But, this is what they're capable of. And it's doubly frustrating that, you know, they can't turn in more games like this, even with all the injuries.
Yeah, as a hockey fan, I don't like the shootout. As a former goaltender, I definitely don't like the shootout deciding games. And as a goaltender, I would hate what Cousy does. But I love it as a Caps fan, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with, I mean, it's completely legal. So, you know, stop the puck, you know, what it's coming.
Right.
It's going far blocker side. It's going to take forever to get there. It's going far blocker side. He's going to release it really quick. So stop it. It's, you know, kind of like Ovechkin on the power play. I felt like they could have won this game. I don't know that it makes a difference in the playoff push. I felt like they should have won this game. There was something I was going to say. Shocking. I had more things to say. Was this the one I remember now? Did Ovechkin go third in this shootout?
Good question.
Go ahead.
It was actually Backstrom that went third.
Okay. But Ovechkin has gone third before, which I'm going to say something very blasphemous. If the Caps are down by a goal in the shootoff and a shootout, I can't remember the rules. People are probably yelling at their phone or their computer right now. Because I'm sure that there's a rule where you have to declare all three shooters before the first three shooters before you start. But I don't understand why Ovechkin would be in your barring crazy injuries. I don't know why Ovechkin would be in your top three for a shootout. As great of a player as he is, that's just not his strength, certainly anymore. It might have been early, it might have been in the late 2010s and the early 20 teens, but I don't think that's his strength now. So why Ovechkin? I remember seeing him go third when they needed a goal to tie at some point in the past month or two, and I couldn't understand that. But Backstrom, I'm a little more satisfied with that, but I think that, you know, Backstrom's not in pain anymore with his hip, and I know he's still good enough to be an NHL player, but he's definitely not the guy that we've loved for the past, you know, 10, 12 years plus. That being said, I think the shootout stinks. I think you should just play 3-on-3 till somebody wins.
Yeah, I call us traditionalists if you want, but yeah, I don't see how, you know, a one-on-one situation is the proper way to end the game. I happen to be a World Cup soccer fan too, and I hate that when they get into the knockout rounds, that's how they have to end it. But of course, you can't have them running around for more than 2 hours. I get that, but yeah, I would say do 3-on-3 until, you know, somebody scores it in sudden victory. Or an idea that I've actually seen floated is that if you're going to keep the shootout, then have a player from the other team start out at the dots at the other end and then try to skate up and catch the guy before he gets a shot off, if you're going to tweak the shootout at all. Right. So
yeah, I've heard people saying that to make Kuzi not do what Kuzi's doing,
right.
But I don't professional sports, like, seems to be a lot of things put in place to try and make the games go faster, right? And I understand there's player safety involved, but like, they got the pitch clock in baseball now, they changed the overtime rules in the NFL, you know, they've got this in hockey, you go to the shootout eventually. Can you imagine, which, as messed up as people, as much complaining about the NFL overtime situation as there is, can you imagine getting to the end of the Commanders Giants game this year and then having a field goal off?
Oh God.
Like best of three after that. Like they ended it in a tie and people were complaining about that. But can you imagine having, you know, blew it or whoever the kicker of the day was that, you know, doing three from the 40 yard line to try and, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, no, it goes along with, you know, our complaint in that it's not part of the flow of the game. It's not how, you know, it's not a proper way to end the game. It's not the team winning the game. It's one player from a team winning the game, I think is the main complaint that we would have. And that's why I don't like it. And, you know, maybe it's fine for the Olympics or something like that, where the game's one off anyway, but there's been talk of maybe implementing it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if I see that happen, I would give serious consideration to not ever watching. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but
right.
You know, that they better not, because there's nothing more exciting to me than a playoff game that goes into multiple overtimes where everything hinges on one goal.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to have to worry about that this year, are we?
No, I'm afraid not. And strange as it may sound, as we speak, this being Sunday evening, April the 2nd, and Caps losing again, the Capitals actually are not eliminated yet, not officially or mathematically. They are still technically alive, if you can believe that. Now, what will eliminate them for sure is the next game the Florida Panthers play. If they win in regulation, or I don't think they have to win regulation. They just win regulation, overtime, or shootout. Any 2 points that they get will eliminate the Caps, because that will put the Panthers in a battle with the Penguins, and only the Penguins, for the second and remaining wild card spot, because the Islanders pretty much have the first one locked up. Well, or at least the Caps can't catch them anyway. So if Florida wins their next game and or the Caps lose another game, then that's pretty much it. But yeah, the margin of error has just gotten, you know, thinner than a fresh razor. And that's, you didn't want to get to this point, but 5 games left, 10 points remaining. What are you going to do? And it's Montreal, Florida, the Islanders again, the Bruins, and the Devils who are left. So next week's going to be a quick week with only 2 games to cover. And then the last week, we're going to have those three games. We'll do our annual post-mortem. So that's previews of coming attractions. I could go on and talk with you guys, I think, the rest of the evening. But like you said, we have critters we have to feed, not to mention ourselves. So I think we're going to go ahead and stop it here. But sure. Again, you have both been great, gigantic, big, tall bottles of awesome. You and Laura both.
Thank you.
I have thoroughly enjoyed having you both on talking. Would it be too presumptuous to say we would love to have you on again? And could you do us the honor of doing that?
We would love to do it. That would be amazing. I just will say that somebody should make sure to keep an eye on Gary Bettman, because he's staring down a playoffs without Alex Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby. So I think somebody needs to put a watch on that guy just to make sure he's okay, because I don't know that he'll survive that. It's amazing to think that could happen. Yes, we would love to do it. You let us know and we will feed the cats early and try and mitigate their head boops on the microphone next time we do this. But this has been awesome. Thank you so much, Blue Liner.
Awesome. Thank you both, John and Laura. Laura and John, the Captastrophes. And so they are on Twitter at the Captastrophes, spelled just like it sounds. Keep watching the games, guys, for anything else, just to listen to their dulcet tones. Give a dedication to the latest Caps goal scorer. And, you know, look, I get that we're facing a season with no postseason play, but you know what? We try to make fans better at watching the game. So use this time to watch for tendencies, as Sammy Silber suggested a couple of episodes ago, how they play along the boards in the neutral zone. Look for stuff like that and see if you can notice some things where the team or individual players can improve their game. Look for stuff like that. Educate yourselves. I strongly advise using this time, these last few games, to do that. And you know, you'll be amazed at yourselves what you can notice if you focus on things like that. So hopefully, you know, I mean, I want to stay optimistic, but you know, hopefully that like a friend of mine was saying, they'll use this offseason to get well and get rested and retool and next season come out great. But no, we still got some hockey to be played, and you know, we'll stick around for as long as we can. And I'd like to announce real quick before we sign off that since this draft is going to be extremely special, we're looking at a top 10 pick. I am going to have a draft special episode with someone who has been eyeing this draft class, which is supposed to be really deep, for a long time. So we're going to get their opinion on the Caps picks when we do that. So look forward to that as well. Okay, so I want to thank Laura and John one last time for being on our show. Thank you both so much. And you, the Caps fan, hang in there. Don't get too discouraged, even though things don't look too bad. Just hang in there. Keep watching the games and do what you can to be a better fan. That's all we ask. So, for the Captastrophes, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that amongst my other business ventures, I decided to open a gym where the instructors would go from door to door to tell people about the benefits of joining it. I decided to call it Jehovah's Fitness. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.